the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, and verse number 40. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Now, the verses either side of that verse have this to say: wherefore doth a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins? And then, let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. And I was thinking about the fact that this is a book that is set in a time when God's wrath and chastisement was upon his people. And God's servant Jeremiah goes to the Lord in prayer about that situation, to plead with him about what was going on. There was a great famine in the land and great privations. You can read it for yourself, the entire book of Lamentations. But in this particular part of chapter 3, there were three simple things that I noticed as I was looking at it, and it would be good for us to ponder on those things tonight. First of all, I noticed the silence that is called for here. It says concerning men that they should not be complaining. You'll see the exact reference there, Lamentations 3 and verse number 39. Wherefore doth a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins? That word complain really means to murmur or to fret or vex or to bemoan himself. And it's interesting that back in verse 26 of the chapter, it says, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. And that quietly wait is literally and be in silence. In other words, it means to abstain from all complaining. We would ask, why should any man be complaining against God because of God's dealings with him? A man, a sinful man, who has rendered himself unworthy of the least of God's favour, and yet such is the loving kindness and goodness of the Lord to us, that he has provided not only all that we need, but his own Son to be our Saviour. And therefore man of all creatures has no reason at all to complain against God in any circumstances. But you'll notice that he's described as a living man. And in a natural sense, we can say that man is upheld in life by the Lord. He enjoys all the common mercies of life. Many people tonight are in health. But even if not, they're still in the land of the living. They're out of hell where they deserve to be. And therefore, every man would have cause to praise and not to complain against God and his dealings. But especially, folks, is that true if he is a living man in a spiritual sense, one who's been made alive by sovereign grace, who has the principle of spiritual life implanted in him by the Spirit. Christ lives within him. His life is hid with Christ in God. And so this man has a right and a title to eternal life in glory. Why should he murmur? Why should he complain? Certainly the Lord's people have no reason to complain and murmur, whatever the circumstances, because God has been good to them. The Lord has been good to us. He continues to be good to us. And as I was reading John Gill on this, he said, if a man is a wicked man and is punished for his sins, no injustice is done him. He has no reason to complain, and especially of his punishment in this world, which is greatly less than his sins deserve. And if he's a good man and he's chastised for his sins, he ought not to complain for the chastisement of them, since it is the chastisement of a father, it is in love and for his good. But the words Gill says may be rendered literally a man for or a man of his sins, and be considered as a distinct clause here and an answer to the former. If a man will complain, let him complain of his sins, of the corruption of his heart, of the body of sin and death that he carries about with him, of his daily iniquities. Let him mourn over them and bemoan himself for them. And if he does this in an evangelical manner, he's happy, for he shall be comforted. And I was just considering Job when he said to the Lord, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay mine hand upon my mouth. In other words, I'll be silent even in the face of the worst of God's dealings with me. There's a silence that is called for. Wherefore Should a living man complain? But then again, in this portion, we also find that there's a search that's called for. And what does it say here? That we are to search. Let us search, verse 40, and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. So here's an alternative to complaining, to search and try our ways. Now in Psalm 139, in the last two verses, David wants the Lord to search his heart. Search me, O God, and know my heart, and so forth. Show me if there's any wicked way in me. Here's an acknowledgement that the Lord needs to search his heart. But then in this scripture in Lamentations, there's an acknowledgement that we need to search our own hearts. Here's self-examination. And the first one, the Lord searching our hearts, leads to the second one. And once again, at a comment by John Gill here, it's very good. Instead of murmuring and complaining, let us search for something that may support and comfort, teach and instruct under afflictive providences. Let us search into the love of God, which though it cannot be fully searched out, it will be found to be from everlasting to everlasting, and that all afflictions spring from that love, and that it continues notwithstanding them. Let us search into the covenant of grace, in which provision is made for afflictions in case of disobedience and for supports under them. Let us search the scriptures which are written for our comfort, and that as much as we do not find some in the instances, examples and experiences of other saints therein recorded, let us search after a greater degree of the knowledge of Christ and of his grace. So shall we be more conformable to his sufferings and death, and patient under our troubles. Let us search into our own hearts and examine ourselves whether we have true repentance for sin, true faith in Christ, whether he is in us or not, and we have a part in him which will make us easy in every state. And then I was struck by this, folks. Let us search into the present dispensation in order to find out the cause of it, which is sin. And at the end of it, which God has in it for our good, let us search our ways and try them by the word of God. We are to turn again to the Lord, it says, by repentance. And it's interesting, as Gill points out in the Targum, it says, let us turn out of our sinful ways upon a search and examination of them and turn to the Lord, his ways and worship, from whom we have departed, against whom we have sinned, acknowledging our iniquities, who receives us graciously, is ready to forgive, and does abundantly pardon. And as I've been considering, like others, some of the sins of our nation, and they're many, and they're great. Think of the scourge of abortion. Think of the scourge of homosexuality and the whole gender fluidity nonsense. And yet when we look at the prayers of Nehemiah in affliction, and Daniel in a time of trouble in Babylon, you'll notice that in both cases the burden of confession and repentance was not just them, the other people who had sinned and were still in sin. But you'll notice with Nehemiah and Daniel, it was us and we. Nehemiah said, we have sinned. Both I and my father's house have sinned. Daniel said the same thing. We have sinned. And so I think, men and women, there's not only a silence that's called for here, but there's the search that's called for. We are to search and try our ways. And of course, the third thing that it brings before us is the supplication that's called for. In the light of this, let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. In the Bible, that's language associated with prayer. Lifting up the hands is a prayer gesture. In fact, it's often put for prayer itself. If you read Psalm 141 and verse 2, the psalmist talks about lifting up the hands as the evening sacrifice. Again, in 1 Timothy 2 verse 8, we are to lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting. The thing is, the heart must go along with it, though, or it is of no avail. Someone paraphrased it. Let's lift up our hearts in truth to God, as a man washes his hands in purity and casts away all filthiness from them. And we could think about that at present every time we wash our hands. how the Bible says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Again, the commentator said the soul must be lifted up to God. There must be an ascending of that unto him, in earnest desires after him, in affection and love to him, in faith and dependence on him, and in hope and expectation of good things from him. This is the way in which men return to God, even by prayer and supplication. And you'll note that this supplication is unto God in the heavens. Thank God tonight we're not looking to men. We respect the authorities. We know that they're set over us. But we're not looking to presidents or prime ministers tonight. We follow sensible advice, the medical community, what they're telling us and so on. But they are not our confidence and they are not our trust. It's a great encouragement to our faith in prayer when we consider that the one that we look to is the maker and the possessor of heaven and earth. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. That's what Psalm 121 teaches us. When it says we're to look unto the hills from whence cometh our help, the idea there is beyond the hills, above the hills. Just as it says here, let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. And as the saints of the Lord, we're thankful for one who is in the heavens, the high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. We have right there in glory tonight an advocate with the Father who pleads our cause before his Father's face. And we can come and join our prayers to his, the great angel of the covenant, as we pray. And those prayers are like smoke, like incense going up to God. They're not ascending just up from us. They're ascending from the hand of the angel. Thank God that the merit is all Christ's. And as we pray tonight, that has to be our focus. We're looking to Christ. We're coming to God in Christ and through Christ. And he is able to do far more exceeding abundantly than we could ever ask or think. Amen.